Think about what Paul is writing here to the Thessalonians. Think about this for just a minute. It's not a godless bunch, not a social gathering, not a craft fair. It's not a bunch of hobbyists getting together to discuss their common interests. It is distinctly spiritual in God the Father. This is a spiritual gathering. Okay, well, what's going on in this spiritual gathering? Well, here's one thing we know. It's not mainline Judaism. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says here, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Mainline Jews said, no way. Jesus? False teacher. Got rid of him. Now we just have to get rid of his pesky followers. And that's what they're seeking to do. And they followed Paul and Silas all the way to Thessalonica to do that. They want to eradicate the work of Jesus or the following of Jesus. So there's a new sphere of life for these people with a distinct message, a distinct purpose, and a distinct hope. They live and breathe and worship and conduct life in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That includes their going to church or being church. Many in our congregation, Ray prayed about this just a few moments ago. Many in our congregation are facing some real storms right now. Some are known, some are not known. But in God's wise counsel, he has provided us not only protection from the storms of life, but he has provided fellowship and counsel through the storms of life as we live with his family in this organism called the local church. In God's wise plan, you and I are a part of the Messer's life. Yes, on a physical plane, but also on a spiritual plane. We are family because we are sons and daughters of God the Father. We are joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the local church that is a picture of God's family. The believers in Thessalonica have learned. They've learned that they are not alone. They faced major storms, as we're going to see. But they had grown to understand that they were the church in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They had grown, and that growth brought them great comfort and great purpose. So this church in the city of Thessalonica is known. It's something different. These people in this church have grown, and then number three, love has been shown. Grace to you and peace. Paul replaces the normal, traditional, everyday greetings with a similar Greek word, grace. They sound almost the same in the Greek language. But rather than just saying, hey, how you doing? He extends grace to them. Through grace, and this is their testimony, lost men and women were saved from their sins in the eyes of a holy God by a transaction that was completely free of charge. That's grace. And so Paul connects with his friends by saying grace, and they say, yes, grace. Grace, however, doesn't end at the moment of salvation, does it? Grace continues on with eternal privileges. The love of God has been shown to these people. And Paul desires for them to know it continually, even in the face of the opposition that you are experiencing. Even though we haven't been there to actually disciple you, God in his grace has grown you, and you are becoming a masterpiece for him. Grace is his greeting. Grace to you and peace. Peace is one of those grace privileges. Believers, because you know the grace of God, you can know the peace of God. The Hebrew mind would have understood this. See, for centuries, there had always been a rift. There had always been a bit of a veil between the worshiper and God. God is, and we have to, they had to give sacrifices, and he's distanced, and there's a wall of separation. What happened at the cross? The veil is torn. And what? Believers are welcomed in to the presence of God by the work, by the blood sacrifice of Jesus. In Christ, the veil is torn, and the follower could actually have peace. I know my God. And I know my God's commitment, and I know his love, and I know his sacrifice, and I know his grace, and I know his mercy, and I can know this because I know Jesus. The peace that the Thessalonians could experience is the same peace that you and I can have, friend. It is a peace secured by the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And it is something that Paul is going to major on as he teaches the Thessalonians, and they, with a humble spirit, soak in his message. Friend, do you know that peace? Have you experienced this grace? You say, no. No, I know I haven't experienced that kind of peace. You can. Just like the Thessalonians, as Paul and Silas and Timothy come into town, the message is open to anyone. And as we read in the book of Acts, there were religious people and non-religious people, both who said, you know what? I need to know this Jesus. I need to know this grace. I need to know this peace. And for any of them who accepted the gift of God named Jesus and his sacrifice for them on the cross, for any of them who accepted that, God graciously saved them. And guess what? They became known as the church, the saved. They got a connection. Have you ever seen someone? There's something about them. They know God. I was a soccer coach, in a public school in Minnesota for 6 years, and had a wonderful opportunity to get to know families and obviously the teen boys, but also their families and my assistant coaches. And so as I got to know these coaches and got to befriend them through the years, obviously they knew that I was a follower of the Lord Jesus. And we had many talks about that. And I remember one conversation in particular. We were tied with a team in a state tournament. And we were the seconds, we could see it on the clock, the seconds were ticking down. And with 2 or 3 seconds one of our guys put the ball in the net. And he turned to me, the other coach turned to me, and he says, "It is always good to have God on your side." I said, "I'm not God." He says, I know, but you know him, you've got an in. Well, you know what? There's nothing special, obviously. I say this all tongue in cheek. There's nothing special about me. But there's something special about us believers. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, what are we to do? Glorify God with all that you are. The Thessalonians, without Paul and Silas there, they learned to do that. They were known. They had grown. What were they doing? They were responding to the love that had been shown them by the God of heaven. If you don't know that love, today you can. Today you can receive salvation. Be saved, be rescued from your sins, and make sure, know for sure, that your sins are forgiven and that you are right with a holy God in heaven. Not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus did. That made the difference in the Thessalonians' life. You say, yeah, I know that. I know the grace of God. I know the peace of God. Good! Are you living it? Oh, well, that's where it gets hard, isn't it? Yeah, there are times of difficulty. There are times of struggle. And I'm not saying the Thessalonians didn't know it. But the Thessalonians learned that consistent growth in their knowledge of God and their relationship with Him would serve to reinforce their trust in Him and their testimony for Him. Let me say that again. They learned that consistent growth in their knowledge of God and in their relationship with Him. In other words, they applied what they learned. That would serve to reinforce their trust when difficulties came face to face. It would reinforce their trust and it would bolster their testimony for Him as they stood for Jesus. Ever learning, ever leading. It is the story of your life and mine. The only special category is this. We have a relationship with God. Believers, are you learning? Do you have a teachable spirit? Are you soaking in truth? And then believers, how are you leading? The question is not whether you are leading or not. We are all leading one direction or another. So how are you leading? We will see it true of the Thessalonians that their teachable spirit led to tremendous opportunities to testify of Christ. We'll see it true of them. Will it be true of us as well? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, you are good. You are good to give us this letter. These people are so much like us. God, in the end, may we be like them. May we learn from them. God, I pray that Wausau Bible Church would be known as a place that's different. But I pray that we would grow and that what this world sees of us may be consistent with the fact that we are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more we grow, would we be more and more apt to speak of and show and live the grace and the peace? That are the byproducts of a walk with Christ. Thank you for the scriptures. Father, if there is someone here today who does not know Jesus as their Savior, God, I pray that they would respond by seeking me out or maybe someone who brought them. Maybe right there in their seat, they would simply acknowledge the fact that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, and they believe that Jesus is their Savior, the only hope for a forgiven soul. So God, I pray that they would call upon you today. And the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord would be saved. It's a promise. And you stand by your promises. You've never broken a one. For those of us who claim the name Christ, we are Christians. We are followers of the Lord. God, I pray that we would walk in the grace that has saved us. And we would know the peace of our indwelling relationship with the Savior through the person of the Spirit. Thank you for being a God who doesn't save us and leave us alone, but you carry us on through life for your glory and our good. God, I pray that we would be a people who learn from what you have for us in 1 Thessalonians. It is good to be together today. And I pray that you would use us. We look forward to being back tonight, learning and growing more. Would we encourage one another? Would we be an example to our children and our grandchildren and our friends and our family? Thank you for the privilege that is ours to worship here in this church. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things.